Welcome back to another episode of Bless the She That Believe. We are in season 4, episode 30. This episode, we're going to talk about sex today, and we're going to talk about sex according to the Bible, according to Jesus. What did Jesus say about it? All right. I know y'all, that's probably why some of y'all are on here, because you saw sex. Wait a minute. This is supposed to be a Christian podcast. I need to listen to this. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're going to talk about, the world celebrated World Sexual Health Day on the 4th. And the world doesn't mind talking about sex. And I think that's part of the problem, is that the body of Christ doesn't talk enough about sex. And we're going to get into this. But first, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, because we're going to need all the prayer we can get from the Lord. We need all the help and wisdom today. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, Father God. We just thank you for this time. We thank you for allowing us to study your word. Father, I thank you for allowing your wisdom to guide us, Father God, and your discernment to lead us, Father. I thank you so much, Father God, for allowing us to just spend this time in your word, Father. Father God, I just thank you for showing us ourselves, Lord, letting your word be a mirror to our lives, Father God. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. Even when we sin, Father God, you pour out your grace and mercy to us, not so we can continue to live in sin or continue to purposely fall and commit presumptuous sins, but Father God, to give us the strength to stand up and turn back to you. So Father God, I just thank you for this word, and I thank you for those who are struggling with sexual immorality, struggling to live holy, because you told us to live holy, for you are holy. Father God, I pray right now that you remind them of how much you love them. Remind us how much you love us, and how much you loved us, that you had to send your son to die for us, die for the sins that we are too embarrassed to admit that we are living in, too embarrassed to say we need help because we feel like we will be judged, Father God. But there's no condemnation in you through your son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So I was having a conversation with my friend yesterday, and I just love her so much. I'm going to have her on the podcast. Pretty soon, I'm going to have her on the podcast. Because we got into a conversation about, she actually is offering courses on sexual health and wellness. And honestly, I'm probably going to sign up for the class, because she is a survivor of sexual abuse. And her testimony is so powerful. And so, she's helping those who have gone through trauma in that area to reclaim their identity, and to reclaim parts of them that the enemy stole, you know. And, one way is to gain more knowledge about your sexual well-being. And we were having a conversation about how the church, you know, we feel like the church, and I mean, honestly, it's truthful. It's like, we talk about prosperity, we talk about healing, we talk about deliverance, but no one talks about sex. And God made sex, you know, like God made sex. He made that, for the purpose and intent to be fruitful and multiply, and it's pleasurable, but he made it for people who are married. And That's the end all be all. We know that. We know that. As believers, we know that. But we live in a fallen world, and we're not perfect. You are talking, like, listen, the person talking to you right now was my lifestyle. I lived in that, you know, and That is, that sin, sexual sin, will keep a lot of people from heaven. That's going to keep a lot of people from heaven. It's hard to break free from. It's hard to break free from that. It says in, let's see. Okay, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. I'm going to go back to the previous verses, but for right now, verse 18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, this is specifically for people who are in relationship with Jesus. People who don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is not that it doesn't apply to you, but you, people who don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's like you just out there, like you just living for yourself. That's, I mean, the Bible tells us that. You're living for yourself. This is for the people who have a relationship with Christ, who profess Christ, and they succumb to sexual sin. Okay? That, I just want to clarify that. Because people who don't have a relationship with Jesus will take offense to the message because that's your lifestyle. I mean, that was it. Honestly, a lot of people, for a lot of people who are in the church, that was our lifestyle before we came to Christ. Even after we came to Christ, we were still struggling with that sin. I know I was. Like, I'm just going to be completely honest. I was. You know, and the World Health Day, World Sexual Health Day, the world talks about sex all the time. We get bombarded with sex, with sexual images. I mean, it's even porn on Facebook app now. Y'all, I'm watching the little reels and then the advertisement come up. I'm like, whoa. Whoa. What am I watching? You know, and it's like, It used to be when I was a kid, because if I have any 80s babies, you know what I'm talking about. It used to be when you had them TVs, because I know my grandma, she had the TV. It didn't have a remote. You had to go up and turn it. Anytime you wanted to turn the TV, you wanted to go to another channel, you had to go up and turn the knob on the TV. And so... Sometimes the channels, if you didn't have a channel, you know, you see all the snow, you know, you see all the fuzzies and stuff. Some of those channels were like HBO or whatever. So at nighttime, if you was trying to turn the TV or whatever, you get the fuzzy thing, you start seeing some distorted images like, oh, what's that? You know, like that was how, that was the closest thing we had to porn at that time. Even though that was what that was on TV, that was the only way you couldn't even see anything. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, now you see everything everywhere. You see stuff all over the place. It's in the song lyrics. I mean, honestly, it was always in the song lyrics, but it was more covert. It was more covered up. You had to kind of like listen to it. I'll never forget this. It was a song called, what is it called? Afternoon Delight. It wasn't until I was grown. I always thought the song, listen, my mom, because my mom, I love my mom. She had me listening to every type of music, of course, except for like heavy metal. We didn't listen to it. I mean, I listen to like one or two songs that are heavy metal, but it's not like my genre to go to. But, you know, mostly 60s and 70s songs, because she grew up in the 60s and 70s. So, I mean... Well, CCR, we listen to Michael Jackson, of course. But, you know, like, we listen to all of that stuff. We listen to everything. My mom, low-key, could have probably been a flower child. I don't know. But, like, Van Morrison, like, listen to everything. So, there was this song that would once in a while come on the radio called Afternoon Delight. I thought they were talking about eating apple pie or something. I honestly thought, in my mind, I saw them singing Afternoon Delight, spreading out a blanket on grass, getting ready to eat pie. And y'all, I mean, honestly, when I became an adult and actually listened to the song and realized what they were talking about, I mean, you, it's like, I don't even know who sings that song, but I'm like, they just sound so happy, you know? It's like, they sound so happy. They're about to eat some dessert, you know? And they just, it's awesome. Y'all, okay, and it's, they remind you of the group ABBA, you know, Dancing Queen. That's how this group is set up. I mean, the song was made in the 70s. I didn't know that's what they were, child. When I actually listened to the song, I said, Mama, what did you have? She said, you were a little girl. You didn't know no better. She said, I said, I thought they were talking about eating pie. But you get what I'm saying. Now you got artists out here singing about everything under the sun and doing whatever and with whomever they want to, however many times they want to. And it's like, what am I? And that's what these kids are listening to today. And it's like, what? I mean, honestly, it's crazy. It's really crazy. It's a crazy time that we live in. So anyway, we're bombarded with sex. And I just honestly feel like in the church, it becomes taboo. Why is it so taboo in the church? Because the Bible is not hiding it. The Bible is talking about it. And the Bible is literally telling us, it's giving us a manual on what not to do. The Bible is telling us, don't do that. And I know, y'all, I know, because let me tell you something. That was when I started walking with Christ for real, listen, who was having a temper tantrum like a toddler? Because this had to be cut out. This had to be cut out of me. And don't get me wrong. When I say it had to be cut out of me, that junk's still there. I remember my pastor, he talked about, because see, my pastor talks about this, but I know my pastor, he can't talk about it as much as he would like to because people get uncomfortable. Why are we uncomfortable when that's the very thing that we used to live in? Why do we try to act like we didn't have sex outside of marriage, or we weren't involved in fornication? Well, that's the same thing. We weren't involved in fornication, that sexual sin, when we get saved. Why we try to act like that's the only, that's, we don't, no, I ain't do. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. That's how y'all got married. Y'all got married like that. And praise God, y'all both came to Christ. But that's how y'all relationship started out, was having sex. Y'all were hookups. Y'all were one night stand. I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, why do we try to act like that wasn't our life? I'm not saying we dwell in the past and no, but the thing is, if we don't acknowledge, if we refuse to acknowledge that's where we were, if we refuse to speak about it and be vocal about it, we'll find ourselves right back in that sin, hiding that sin. And the fact that we feel like we can't come to the church, we feel like we can't go to the altar. Y'all, my pastor, we have altar calls every Sunday. Nobody want to go up there. If I didn't have to be on the book, if I didn't have to do the music, I would be at the altar every Sunday. I'd be there every day if I could, because I'm crazy. It's something wrong with me, and it's called I'm a sinner. It's like, no, I just want to stay permanently at the feet of Jesus, because I can't with myself. It's like my mind be wandering all over the place. Where you going? Where you going? Get back over here. Get back over here. You know, like, it's a constant fight and a struggle. Y'all, and I know I'm not the only person listening to this, or not listening, but I know I'm not the only person dealing with this, because it's a struggle. This sin is strong. And then it's variations of the sin, but it all fits together. And I know y'all gonna get mad at me about the variations of the sin, but we're gonna talk about it, because homosexuality, you getting married, you're not technically married. You're not married in the eyes of God. You're fornicating. That's what that is. It's fornication. If you are not, the Bible said the marriage bed is undefiled. Okay, we all know that one. We could quote that, because listen, the people who abstinent know they could quote that one off the top of their head. A marriage bed is undefiled. Okay, calm down. Go sit down somewhere. All right. But God made marriage for a male and a female. It says it several different ways, however you like it. Man and woman, male, female, him, her. Okay? That's what the Bible says. I am speaking about the Bible and what the Bible says, and I'm going to stand beside it. That's just what the Word of God says. So if you're going to get mad at God, get mad at Jesus, get mad at the Holy Spirit. You take it up with them three. Okay? I'm just speaking what the Bible says. Now, says, if we, it's the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. And it's the first one, y'all. It's the first thing. The first thing. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 always gets me. And such were some of you. Paul is like, none of these, anybody fitting under these categories. Because I'm going to tell you, those are like categories. Those are actual sins, but they trail off into different areas of our lives. Like with idolaters. You're like, I don't worship no idol. Oh, you don't? What about your phone? That hit me. What about that little blue app on your phone? What about what you eat? Because if you don't get your coffee, oh my gosh, if you don't get your coffee, you're going to crash out. You know, what about that? That means you worshiping it. If you crash out because you can't have a cup of coffee, you start itching and stuff because you can't get your little caffeine fix. You might be worshiping that drink. I'm just saying. But you see how each one of these particular sins can deviate off the stuff. It goes to an area. Idolatry doesn't just mean you worshiping a statue of another god. It could be you worshiping your kids. It could be you worshiping your husband. You could be worshiping your marriage. You could be worshiping what the doctor says over what God says. You could literally, like, it could go anywhere. Adulterers, y'all, you cheating on your spouse with your work husband. You cheating on your spouse with the person at the restaurant that you think really pretty. You cheating on your spouse with, like, you cheating. You stepping out of your marriage and putting something in place. So that's my example, okay? Says verse 11, and such were some of you. And the reason why Paul, I believe, is saying that is because a lot of Christians, a lot of people who proclaim Christ are very self-righteous, which is, you know, you're not supposed to do that. You're acting like a Pharisee. I know I've done that, and I'm not proud of it, but I can admit that I have done that. A lot of us believe after we done got some years under our belt walking with Christ that we are above where we used to be. And that's the problem. That is the problem with the body of Christ. You are not so far removed from that sin that had you bound up, tied up, oppressed, depressed, repressed, everything. You're not too far removed from that sin. That's still in your body. And I was getting ready to say something a couple of minutes ago. My pastor has use the example, I think I've said it on here before. He said, there is one sin that we practiced it, meaning we did it more than once, like we got good at it. He said, but when we come to Christ, that sin dies. We have to kill the flesh, like the old man has to die, right? But he said, it's like a car factory. He said, just because the car factory closes down doesn't mean that those cars that were made in the factory are no longer around. They still on the road. I mean, I saw a Saturn a while ago, but it was still on the road, even though Saturn no longer exists. So that's how it is with the sin in your life. You've shut the sin factory down through the blood of Jesus. you don't practice that sin anymore, but that sin is still in your body. It's still in your flesh. Your flesh remembers exactly what to do. Your flesh remembers exactly what to do. It does. Give it an opportunity. A lot of us, I saw this on social media a while ago and I said, doggone it, that is the truest statement. A lot of us, the only reason why we not fornicating is because we ain't been given an opportunity. I'll say it again for the people who try to pretend they didn't hear that. There are a lot of us who are not engaging in sexual activity because we have not been given an opportunity. But let the opportunity present itself. I pray we make it, and I pray we resist. But that's the strong behind sin. And I know it's some of y'all who are like, but the Lord forgives. Okay, but I'm going to remind you of Romans 6, chapter 6 and verse 1, where it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We have grace. We have grace. But that doesn't mean you go and purposely plan your sin. David said, keep your servant back from presumptuous sins. Premeditated sin. Let me tell y'all something. I premeditated my sin. I did. I thought, because I always had to have a plan. I always had to have a backup plan. I always had to have a plan for stuff because I needed to know how to move. And y'all, it was crazy. It was crazy. I don't know how I was even thinking. I don't even know how I lived with that kind of mind. I don't. Because the thing is, if you got to do all of that, why are you sinning? Why go through all of that? Because let's be honest. When you have when you fornicate, you are opening, because I don't think a lot of people realize the reality of the situation when it comes to fornicating, when you are having sex outside of God's covenant, covenant of marriage. You are opening yourself up to so many different demonic entities. Y'all, I don't even know. I'm trying to think, like, Holy Spirit, help me, because I don't even know how much I need to share, but I have seen some things. I remember I was in a situation with a guy, and it's a lot of background, but I'm not going to go into that. That's too much. I'm not going to go into that. But I will say this. After the fact, like, we didn't do anything, but the Holy Spirit showed me what was happening in the spirit. I was waiting for him to, you know, whatever, get ready or whatever. And the Holy Spirit showed me the demon that was in him. And the Holy Spirit was like, the bed is an altar. The bed is an altar. Do you ever think about the fact that when people get married, they're going to the altar? Like, do you really realize what the altar is? That's where you die. That's where you die. And in a marriage, that's why God wants us to be married, because it's safety. There's safety and sanctity. God sanctifies sex in a covenantal marriage between a man and a woman. You're safe. Now, there are stipulations with that, because because it's our decision to remain safe. And when I say it's our decision to remain safe, it's our decision to continue to honor that sanctity and holiness that God has put around the marriage. It's our responsibility. Because if somebody steps out of that, you have just now made your covenantal marriage unsafe. Because if you step out of your marriage to go find pleasure elsewhere, you have opened a door to allow something to come in and potentially harm your spouse and harm you. So now your marriage is not safe. And the Holy Spirit showed me, said that demon was getting ready to sacrifice you. You were the sacrifice. And I cannot unsee that. Because that's what it is. When you are a believer and you are engaging in fornication and sexual sin, you are opening yourselves up to demons. Like, y'all don't, I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you what I have seen. Y'all, I remember when I was dating this guy, I stayed over at his house. We went out of town to have dinner or whatever. We went on a dinner date. And then it was real late. So I just stayed over at his house. And I was going to leave the next morning. Well, next morning, we are up. Y'all, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, y'all. Okay? 8 o'clock in the morning. We're up. We're on our phones talking and showing each other videos. And I said something about church. When I tell you, this dude gets up out of his bed and he starts arguing with no one. I didn't say anything else. I was just sitting there. And he has a full-on argument with nobody. Walking around the house, talking to nobody, arguing. Like, arguing. Let me tell y'all something. I got my stuff and I walked out and got in my vehicle and left. I was like, what is that? That was a demon. All I said was something. I can't even remember what I said, but I know church was brought up. And I didn't even say, hey, are you going to church with me? I know I didn't say that. I did not ask him to come to church with me. I did not say anything about him coming to church. He, like, that thing was irritated. And I mean, he was slamming pots and pans. He went to the kitchen, slamming pots. I said, oh, I got to get up out of here. Y'all, this is not a game. And the crazy thing is, y'all, the crazy thing is, I already knew all of this stuff. Like, I knew it all. That's, I could see this stuff. And I still did not care. I did not care because I wanted what I wanted. I was being selfish. I was being so selfish. And it's like, how can I be that selfish? Not only to myself, but to whoever God has for me to marry. That, like, I'm putting our marriage in jeopardy even when we're not together yet. And you have to think like that. If you're waiting to be married, you have to think like that. You're putting your future spouse's life on the line every time you lay down with somebody else. You are. You are. And that's what the enemy wants, because he does not want kingdom marriages to, he don't want kingdom marriages to happen. You think he's happy when two kingdom minded people get together? No. Because now y'all going to be praying against him. And he don't want that, because where two or more are gathered, Jesus shows up in the midst. That's what he tells us. You think you, and y'all on one accord? Oh no, he can't have that. So if he can sabotage, if he can get you to fornicate and do all that stuff, do everything, whatever your heart's desire, if he can get you to do that, and then, oh, now you got an STD that won't go away. Oh, now you got HIV. Oh, now you got an STI. Oh, now you got something that's going to prevent you from having children. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who going to want you now? That's what the enemy will say. And he'll be sitting there laughing at you, thinking that he won. But we all know that the blood of Jesus can eradicate all things, can eradicate every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy. Yes, we know that. However, we have a responsibility to walk pure and holy before the Lord. And you're like, I can't be holy. Only God can be. No. Because in 1 Peter 1:16, it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holy doesn't mean that you're perfect. God knows that we can never be perfect, not in these bodies. But we walk after Christ and we do the best that we can do. And when we do fall, we immediately repent and turn away from that sin and we get back to God. Because literally what happens when we sin? We walk away from God. When we walk away from God, we go into sin. Don't believe me? Okay, let's go to the word. Let's go to the Word of God. Again, we're going to go into the Word of God again. Oh, goodness gracious. Where is it? I'm overlooking it. There it is. These modern major prophets, I tell you. All right. When you turn from God, you go into sin. If you go to Jonah. When you go to Jonah, chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's go to verse 1. Let's back up. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3 says, starts with but. But is a contradictory word. It means that it's something opposing. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Okay? And went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, it mentioned went down twice, and it mentioned from the presence of the Lord twice. So that's telling me when I leave from the presence of the Lord, I'm going down. And y'all know how it says it's going down for real. Yeah, you going down when you leave from the presence of the Lord. You're going down because he was in disobedience. Disobedience is sin. That's all sin is disobedience. Every sin that you can name is disobedience to God. It's disobedience. All sin fits in the category of disobedience. That's literally what it is. Disobedience. God said, don't have sex outside of marriage. Boom. You having sex outside of marriage, it's called fornication. It don't matter what kind of sex, it's fornication because you're not supposed to be doing that. If it's outside of the confines that God has created, is fornication, is disobedience, it's immorality, it's lasciviousness, it's all of that. It's sexual immorality, it's all of that. It's sin. It's disobedience to God. Okay? So, mind you, Paul also says in 1 Corinthians, because this is a letter to the Corinthian church, because they were doing a lot of stuff. Okay, you got to understand the times that they were living in. They had a lot of the world still in them. And Paul is like, hey, y'all said y'all profess Christ. Y'all can't be doing some of the stuff that y'all doing. And this is also the book, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, where he told women, you know, don't wear your hair plaited. A lot of people take a lot of this stuff out of context. This is my point. The reason why he was saying all of that stuff and this stuff is because these people were professing Christ, but they were still living like the world. If Paul were here today, y'all would find some kind of way to get rid of Paul. I promise you that. Because y'all get mad at people telling you, you don't need to be doing that no more. Like, y'all probably mad at me right now. You can't tell me, you can't judge me. I got needs. Who don't have needs? I needs money. I needs groceries. I needs gas. I needs a lot of stuff. I need a vacation. I have needs too. We all got needs. We all need to get saved. We all need to be doing what God told us to do. Like, don't come at me like that. Don't come at me like that. Well, how you supposed to find something to do with your time? I just finished watching the podcast, Jackie Hill Perry and her husband, and I can't remember the other two people. Anyway, they were talking about dating after 30. And it's ghetto. Not even gonna lie. Dating after 30 is ghetto. It really is. I mean, I have no other. It's ghetto. But what one of the people said, he went to the scripture, and I thought about it too. I thought about it too, because I remember my pastor talked about this. And like my pastor, I talk about my pastor because he actually talks about this stuff. He talks about it. And the guy on the podcast went to this scripture that I'm getting ready to read to y'all. And I said, it's true. You got to keep yourself busy. So I'm going to go 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. David was a man of war. He was a man of war. That means he liked to fight. God just put that in him. He was a fighter. David decided to stay home. How you send everybody else off the, the Bible never says why David chose to stay at the kingdom. Maybe David said, you know what? I need a break. I fight in all the wars. I need a break. Let me find something else to do. Let me see what else I'm gifted in. You know, that was not a good idea for David. David should have took his behind the war. Because this is when David committed adultery with Bathsheba. This is when David committed. A lot of times we get ourselves into sin, sexual sin, because we're not operating in our ministry. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. You have to keep yourself busy. You have to keep yourself busy with the things of God. Go to the gym, work out, find some hobbies, wear yourself out doing things to benefit other people, like volunteering in a nursing home or volunteering doing with the community, doing community projects and stuff like that. Wear yourself out so you can keep your mind going on things other than having sex. Y'all, it's hard. It's hard. But it's like, if you just sit there idle, you're going to start thinking about the last time. Oh, and the enemy, you're just going to entertain all those thoughts. And next thing you know, you're going to be right back in the same spot that you were in. That's literally how that works. I know. Trust me, I know. Because it's like, then you want to call somebody. You know, I wonder what so-and-so doing. I ain't talked to this person in a year. You ain't talked to this person in a year. That person ain't even texting. The person ain't even thinking about you, to be honest. But you sitting there, conjured up in your mind. Oh, I bet he's wondering about me. I bet she's thinking about me. Let me send this text. Hey, big head. The hey, big head text. Y'all, I'm telling you right now, find something to do with your time. If you find out that you got a lot of time on your hands, find something to do. Read a book. Not no book. You know what I'm talking about, them books. I don't want to mention nobody's name because they might say it's libel, but, you know, it's slander. No, I'm just saying the content of the books. Be careful with that, too. But, y'all, I think a lot, what else I wanted to mention, too, is me and my friend were having a conversation, like I said, yesterday. And I brought up purity culture. Y'all, I'm going to say this about the purity culture. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then be glad, okay? Purity culture messed a lot of women in the church up. It really did. It messed us up mentally. Because what was harped upon was, we needed to be pure for our husbands and stuff like that. But what about the husbands? Are y'all telling them the same thing? Because what we found out, now that we're almost 40 or in our 40s or late 30s, what we found out is y'all were not telling these men that they needed to keep their pants zipped up and keep their legs closed too. Y'all ain't telling them that. Y'all, and when I say y'all, I mean like the whole purity culture movement, they weren't telling them that. They were telling the girls that. So they had us thinking, if we did all these things in this checkbox, go to church, read our Bibles, and wait until the Lord sends us our husband to have sex, or keep ourselves pure, then the Lord will send us our husband. And a lot of women did that. And guess what? You still single. Ain't never been married. So you checked all the boxes off, because what happened? What did purity culture do? Purity culture basically set us up for failure. And I honestly believe it was started with good intentions, just like everything else. And it had good intentions. But at the same time, purity culture taught us how to idolize marriage. That marriage was the goal. Marriage should never be the goal. I mean, society already taught us that too. Oh, you get married when you do this, this, and this. You get the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids and the goldfish, the dog. You know, you get the husband. When you go to school and go to college, then you get a job, then you get married. That was society. The church was then saying, okay, yeah, God is going to give you a husband, but you got to make sure you're pure and chaste. You got to make sure you go to church. You got to make sure you read the Bible, be respectful, do okay. The same goal was marriage for both sides, the world and in the church. Marriage was the goal. Marriage should never be the goal. The goal should be Jesus. I want to make sure I get to heaven. Because the thing is, what if you died trying to check off all the lists? You ain't never get married. What I mean, honestly, if that was your goal, you're gonna be disappointed when you get to heaven. I ain't get a chance to get married. Crazy. But that's how it was set up. And like I said, I believe it started with good intentions. But when, I mean, because I was in one of those purity classes. We had it at my church, late 90s. You know, we all got a purity ring. But I'm sitting here like, it's nothing but girls. Where's the guys? I think we had one guy, but he barely came to any of the classes because he had stuff to do. He was in sports. Go figure. You know, so it's like, what are we really saying? We're literally saying, guys, it's okay for y'all to sow your wild oats, royal oats, whatever it is, some kind of oats. It's okay for y'all to do that, but girls, y'all can't do that. So I'm like, if it's okay for them to sow their wild oats, royal oats, whatever kind of oats, who are they doing it with? Who are they doing that with? Because you got us over here up in the, you know, in the upper room praying for a husband and we keeping ourselves, but then these jokers out here roaming the streets just grabbing their anything, getting their heart broken, having traumatic events happen because they with the wrong person. Now they come to us busted and disgusted, and we over here like trying to live the good life for the Lord. So they gonna come defile us, and now we got to deal with the trauma that they brought into the marriage. That's crazy, but that's what happens. You know, like that's not saying that we don't have trauma that we need to work through. Like, yeah, everybody got trauma. Everybody got baggage. Work through that. But that's pretty much how it was set up. And I don't know if people realize that until now, because it's a lot of people speaking out against it. I don't think that wasn't God's intention. First of all, let's talk about it. The Bible doesn't talk about anything about dating. The Bible does not mention dating. The Bible talks about marriage. Okay? The Bible talks about marriage. Doesn't talk about dating. So you're sitting there like, well, what am I supposed to do? Honestly, to me, to I'm gonna be completely honest, I don't even know. Even know. I don't know, y'all. I don't know. I honestly do not know. I don't know how to navigate this. I am almost 40. I am what, October, November, December, 3, 4 months out from being 40 years old, and I have no clue how this works. I'm just taking it one step, one day at a time, one minute at a time, because you think somebody like you. And then you find out they don't like you, or either they want to say, I'm not ready for a relationship, but then they keep flirting with you and giving you all the signs that they want to be in a relationship. So you sitting there holding out for them, realizing, wait a minute, you really don't want to be in a relationship with me. Okay, let me try to what is it? Decompress, whatever that word is, like deconstruct what has happened. And you know, now you're trying to work through that, and here come another joker. You're like, whatever. And it's like, I can't. Then you try online dating. Y'all, let me say this. I have tried online dating, and it's like so ghetto. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because you got to filter. I'm gonna tell you the key to online dating, ladies. You got to filter the background pictures. Because let me tell you why. You got to pay so much attention. You got to analyze those background pictures. Because let me tell you, if the dude is squatting to the floor doing that 8th grade pose, you know, the one where everybody squat to the ground, if he's doing that, he's in jail. I'm gonna tell you, he's in jail. If it's zoomed in real close on him while he's doing that pose, he's in jail. Look at the shoes. They all got the white shoes. Look at the floor. you got to look at the back. If you see cylinder blocks in the background, they in jail. And it's, I mean, hey, if you wanna do that, that's up to you. But I'm not doing that. I'm not. And what even gets me is, what gets me is the guys who get on online dating with all of these stipulations. No, I don't want no woman who brings drama. I don't want a woman who refuses to cook and clean. Whoa. Do you even do all of that? Or you still go to your mama's house to pick up a meal? I mean, because I go to my mama's house when she cooked because she asked me to come get some food. But I cook. And what you mean don't bring drama? You are the drama. You continue to contact your ex, although you have a baby mama who you still trying to see also. And then you want to bring me into the mix? Like, please stop. That is, it's crazy. It's crazy. And the thing is, that's online dating. You can at least filter. It's totally different when they in your face because you met them in the grocery store. How am I supposed to filter this? Then you got to wait and try and find out if they're crazy. You got to wait and try and find out if they're crazy. This is why you got to walk with God, because the Holy Spirit going to say, eh-eh. Y'all, I told y'all about the dude jumped in my inbox. And the thing is, I know of him because he used to work with my mama when she was at the elementary school. He sends me a DM or whatever, and we were just talking. He commented on something I posted on Facebook or whatever, and we were just talking. I was like, hey, how often do you get home? Because he doesn't live here. He was like, you know, I'm actually getting ready to come home such and such day. I said, hey, well, maybe can we go get some ice cream or something? We could get his ketchup. He said, yeah, that'd be great. Y'all, after that conversation, I prayed about it. I said, Lord, if this is not a person for me, if you don't want him in my life, just cancel it. Y'all, I forgot about the whole conversation. I forgot all about it. Actually, it was a week later, which is when he was supposed to be in town. It was a week later when I was like, I'm supposed to be doing something. I said, oh, where he at? I sent a message. It's like, hey, no response. Y'all, I said, well, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, because see, here's the thing. When you move like that, when you seek God first, and see, that's what Matthew 6 and 33 tells us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you seek first the kingdom of God, and a lot of people want to apply that just for money. See, that's where you're wrong. If you talking about seek you first the kingdom of God because you're trying to increase your finances, because some wolf in sheep's clothing that got a pastoral collar told you that's a lie. It's from the pits of hell. Okay, that was a false teacher. Seek you first the kingdom of God in every area of your life. I sought the Lord. He heard and he answered me. I sought the Lord about that. I took it right to him. I said, Lord, this guy's showing interest in me. I need you to filter this, because if he ain't supposed to be in my life, go ahead and cancel him, because I ain't got time to be getting my feelings involved. You know how emotional I get. You know how wrapped up I get, because I love. You know how I am. You know how I am. I ain't got time for that, because you done detoxed me from the two dummies who decided that I wasn't good enough for them. God bless them. So let's keep it moving, and when, because I ain't got time. I'm trying to do your work. And guess what the Lord did? Took him out. He don't even show up on my radar, honestly. For a while there, he was jumping on my stories. I was like, why are you here? You want to jump in my stories, but you refuse to jump back in my DM. And have my phone number. Like, we even exchanged phone numbers, y'all. If you seek God first, if somebody shows interest in you and you take it to the Lord immediately, you will avoid so much heartache and pain. I promise you. But a lot of times we want to just, because we don't trust God in that area. I know I didn't. I didn't trust God with my marriage. I didn't trust God with the timing of my marriage and who I'm going to meet. So you know what I did? I found myself in a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache and unnecessary pain. I did, because I didn't trust God. God, you know, because you're God. Like, you don't know about sex. God created sex, y'all. And I'm going to tell you this, because I don't care. Like, and when I say I don't care, what I'm saying is I don't mind taking it to this point, because this is a conversation that needs to be had. A lot of us do not trust God in this area of sexual pleasure and things because we don't believe God knows what he's doing, because we think we know what we like. We know what we like based on the trauma that has affected our lives. We know what we like based on the bad decisions that we made. We really don't know what we like or what we need when it comes to sex. And I'm just going to be completely honest. We don't. We think, oh no, I like this way. And I like, no, that's based off of trauma, generational curses, and all the stuff that the enemy used to keep you bound and tied up. A lot of you really don't like. A lot of you really don't like some of the stuff that was going on in the bedroom, but the enemy tricked you into thinking that you loved it. That's not what you really like. But God knows what you really like. He created you, y'all. Like, when I got this in my head, I was just like, I really, you know, like, and the thing is, we have these thoughts. We think about this stuff in our head, but we don't want to confess it to God and have the conversation with him. He already know what you're thinking. He knew what you were thinking before he created the world. He already knew what you were going to be thinking. That's the crazy thing. We sitting here trying to have private conversations that God already knows what the conversation is about. He already know how it's going to end. That's the part that makes me laugh. Because it's like, I have to call myself out on that. It's like, Stephanie, why you... It's funny because it's like, when I was just writing this second poetry book, and I was like, I want to write some stuff, you know, because this is how I'm feeling. And the Holy Spirit said, write it. And I was like, oh my gosh, what? I can't write this. You can't know about what I want to write. And the Holy Spirit said, Stephanie, you have the gift of writing. If that's what's inside of you and if that's how you feel, write it. I didn't say publish it. I said write it. No one has to see that. That's just you getting it out of your system. Because if you don't get it out of your system, it's going to affect you. You're going to end up doing those things. So write it down and get it out of your system. And y'all, I tell you what, the Holy Spirit was right again. Said, take that energy and use it for the good. Your gift is writing. Use it. That's what it is. Use your writing gift. I didn't say you had to publish it. Everybody don't need to read that. Now, your husband can read it, but everybody else don't need to read that. Y'all, I mean, honestly, the Holy Spirit told me that. So the Holy Spirit told me that. Then guess what? The Holy Spirit knows what I need when it comes to the bedroom. See, a lot of people don't have this conversation. Like I said, we sit here and we let the world tell us all of this stuff about sex. So you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. You know you don't. Did you ask God? Do you? I heard about people who pray before they have sex. I don't know about that. I'm just like, y'all actually stop and pray. Like that's, you know, hey, if that's what they do. I'm not saying don't pray about your sexual, your experiences with your spouse or whatever. I'm not saying don't pray about that. I mean, I would want to pray like, Lord, bless the union of us doing this stuff, you know, like bless that area. But it's like, I don't know why. I feel like we're still like Adam and Eve in the garden after they sinned. And God is looking like, Adam, where are you? And we're trying to hide behind the leaves and the leaf clothes, the clothes that made out of leaves that we created. God knows us inside and out. He knows us better than we do. And there's nothing that we can't take to him in prayer. There's nothing that we can't talk to him about. He wants to be in every aspect of our lives. He wants us to come to him with our sexual needs and frustrations. He wants us to talk to him about that. And I'm going to tell you, y'all, this year I have been talking to him. I probably talked his ear off. Lord, hey, I need help. Like, seriously, I have probably talked his ear off about it. But you know what? I feel so much better. I feel like I'm not having a hide. I can be who I need. Like, I can be Stephanie with God. I don't have to put on a mask. I don't have to put on a charade. I don't have to fake anything. I'm like, Lord, I want to have sex right now, but I'm not married, so I don't know what you want me to do with this, but I need for you to filter this some kind of other way, or just let me go to sleep. So think about it. That's usually my prayer. Lord, let me just go to sleep, because I can't deal with this. And you know what? I'm pretty sure he be laughing at me, but I know he likes having these conversations, because it's like talking to your friend, because I'm a friend of God. That's what the Bible says. Now I'm a friend of God through his son, Jesus Christ, that I can talk to him. That's my heavenly father. And I don't have to be ashamed about it. I don't. See, the world wants us to be ashamed. They want us to hide. Let me tell you something. When I get married, y'all gonna know. There will be signs. There will be signs. Okay? A lot of them. There will be a lot of signs. All right? I want us to, as believers, as y'all being my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want us to embrace the fact that we are sexual beings. We are spiritual beings. We are sexual beings because God created sex for us. He created sex for us to create life and to have pleasure in that way with our spouse. And it's like when you get married, sex is not even, not that it's not important, but that's not the most important thing. He wants us to build relation. You can't build, let me not say that. Because I know a lot of people who are blood-bought believers, believing in Jesus, and they messed up. They fornicated before they got married, but they got married. You know what I'm saying? And their relationships are solid. Like, but they tell me they wish they would have waited. They wish they would have waited. And I get it. I know a lot of married couples, a lot of married couples at my church. Everybody's married. Now I'm not a single person anyway. So, but there are different aspects of their lives. Like when it comes to when they were, dating their spouse before marriage, they'll tell you like, if we could have waited, we should have, but we didn't, you know? And I honestly, like I said, I don't know how to navigate dating because it looks different for everybody. And right now, I'm not even dating anybody. I can't even get nobody to return a text message or hey. I can't even get nobody to get me a dollar sweet tea from McDonald's. Like, seriously, like, it feels like you're forgotten. And it feels like, well, I guess God don't want me to get married because why is nobody noticing me? No, people are noticing you. People see you. They see you. And what I had to realize, especially with the last two dudes I entertained, what I had to realize is for them, and this is a conversation I would love to have with a guy on the podcast, for a lot of men, they see the value of a woman. And what I did not realize is how much men have to give up when they consider marriage. Like, men literally have to die. Like, and when I say literally, I don't mean like literally have to die. But they have to sacrifice themselves for a marriage. And that's why a lot of men are refusing to get married, because they don't want to sacrifice themselves. And when I say sacrifice themselves, I mean sacrifice their time, sacrifice their wants and needs and desires, because they would be the head of the household, you know, following the protocol, you know, Jesus, the husband, the wife, kids. Like, they would have to lay down their lives literally for their family if need be. Men give up, you know, like they give out their last name. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of stuff. Like, women, we feel like, oh my gosh, I'm losing my last name. But look at all the stuff that this man who wants to marry you, he's willing to give up for you. Like, I think we just forget both sides. Men are giving up a lot to want to marry a woman, and a woman gives up a lot. A woman gives up her independence. A woman gives up her right to her own way of thinking. Which I guess that goes into independence. Like, you just can't make decisions anymore based off of what you want to do. And it goes the same for a man. You can't just get up and go out of town. Not that you got to ask permission, but y'all should at least discuss it. You know what I'm saying? Like, now we got to share. I remember at one point I was telling the Lord, I was like, you just making it so much more hard on my husband by making us wait this long, because this man is going to have a time when I would literally tell the Lord, like, I'm like, I have been going back. I found myself going back apologizing to the Lord about a lot of the stuff that I've said when I wasn't really walking with him, or when I was like just starting to choose him. Because listen, I really told the Lord that, like, you making this so much harder on my husband, because how he gonna tell me to do something? You got me waiting this long. I have my own life now. I don't need. I said that to the Lord, and the Lord just like, I wish you would shut up. But it's like, when you wait this long, it is harder to compromise, I believe, because it's like you've been doing things on your own for so long without having to ask permission. You just get up and go out of town. I used to just get up and go out of town, like, bye, I'm out of town. I'll see you when I see you. That's how it was. And the thought of, dog, like, I'm really going to have to check in with somebody. I'll just stay home. I don't want to do all that. Like, honestly, the Lord has been preparing me for the past couple of years, because I don't even go out of town like that anymore. I have to think about that, because now I have a dog. And so it's like, and I honestly believe the Lord allowed me to get this dog to settle me, because I feel so settled. I don't have to do a lot of, listen, y'all, I'm happy being in my house. I don't want to go nowhere. Give me Virgin River on Netflix and my blanket and my fuzzy socks. You ain't gonna see me. I told my mama this like about a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, when I get married, my husband ain't ever got to worry about me. Let me tell you what. If that man want to step and watch the game, I'm going in the room and I'm going to sleep. Okay, bye. He ain't gonna come looking for me. What? You don't want to? I'm gonna be in bed. I want my bed. Good night. You ain't got to worry about me. Hey, I was gonna go to dinner with the guy. Bye. Okay, bye. Thank you. Clean the house up. Have my time in the bathtub. Ain't got to worry about nobody trying to come in there and see what I'm doing. No. You go ahead with your boys now. You go ahead. Go ahead with your boys. Be sitting in there, minding my business, reading a book, unbothered. Take my behind to bed and go to sleep. You be out. Hey, now, and I'm going to tell him this. He might actually, that'd be crazy if my husband is listening to this. That, oh my gosh. Hey. Hey, boo. I'll tell you this, like, And then that's the safety and the sanctity thing. That's that trust. Because you go out with your friends, okay, you know, like, have enough respect for me to come back home at a decent hour, you know, like, at least be in the house. I don't want to be sitting in there worried about you, worried something happened to you. That's respect. That's the mutual respect and understanding that has to be worked out in a relationship. But anyway, I've come to the end of my time here. And I hope that y'all gleaned something from this. And like I said, this is a taboo topic in the church, and it needs to be talked about more. I believe a lot of people are bound up in sexual sin, secret sexual sin. Secret sexual sin. Okay, alliteration. Okay. I believe a lot of people are bound up in secret sexual sin in the church because they are embarrassed. They're embarrassed that they have messed up, and they feel like they cannot come out. They feel like there's no hope for them. Those are all lies from the enemy. And they're ashamed. And they fear rejection from the church, from those who look to them. And especially people who are in ministry. My gosh, you got to have somebody accountable that'll hold you accountable. I have people who hold me accountable to my decisions and actions. They ain't all up in my business, but they check in on me. One is my pastor, my mama. You know, like, I have homegirls, like, they check in on me, like, hey, you good? One of my friends, she'll message me 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to get ready for work. The Lord put on my heart to tell you that, oh, Lord, what he done said now? You know, like, why he just tell me? You know, so, like, I have to, oh, my gosh. And let me tell you something. She was texting me when I was in doing stuff I ain't had no business doing. And she was like, you need to come out. Oh, yes, ma'am. You see me, huh? We don't even see each other that often. But, you know, she go to my church, but she's a nurse. And, child, Lord be using her. And I was like, now, if the Lord used her to tell me that, I definitely know I'm wrong. Like, if I thought I was right, I'm definitely wrong. But, yeah, it's, you got to have people who hold you accountable because it helps to keep you on track and to keep you from falling. And it's just so much more I want to say. Maybe we need to do a part two of this. But yeah, so it's sex is a good thing when it's in the confines of marriage, when it's the way God wanted it. And we got to get away from not talking about it. I think we need to be more vocal about it. I'm not talking about your experiences and stuff. No, I'm talking about let's handle this topic according to the word of God, and what does the word say about it? Let's deal with it that way so we can have a healthier knowledge about it spiritually instead of believing what everybody else said. We go to the world so much for the stuff that God has already told us about, and that's where we mess up, because we're listening to the world tell us what we should like in the bedroom. What did God say? Because let me tell you something, that doggone Isaac and Rebecca, y'all, oh my gosh, that story made me cry. Y'all need to go read Isaac and Rebecca when they first met. That thing made me cry. That it made me cry, y'all. I love their love story. Like, that was a beautiful, oh my gosh. I love it. Anyway, so I hope y'all have a great week, and I will talk to y'all later. Bye.